Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of Fold in the Cheese, your recipe for fantasy football success. I am your host, Kemper Troll, a.k.a. K-Troll, a.k.a. K-Tripsy, and my co-host, the Dwight to my Jim, the Ted to my Barney, the Alexis to my David, the Barney to my Andy. If you're old enough to get that reference, congrats on opening up a podcast in the first place. Ethan Gelfand. Ethan, how are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, Trips. I'd like to say I think I actually gave you K Tripsy. Did I not?
You did. That was an Ethan original nickname. That's true.
Thank you, sir. Just wanted to make sure that was clear. But no, excited to be here. I think this is going to be fun, bringing fantasy football to the masses and really seeing where we can go. Especially, I would like to see how many pop culture references I can infuse in there.
That's the goal, really. I mean, winning championships is great, but
if you get a good meme or pop culture, just kind of trivia in there, honestly, that's half of it to me.
Picture's worth a thousand words. Am I right?
But what is a GIF? I mean, and it's moving. It's a
picture. Like, how many frames are there? I mean, every picture of that GIF is like another thousand words, I think.
So right there, we've just written novels on novels.
I'm not like an animator, but I mean, it's a lot of words.
And just so you know, yes, this is honestly how we're going to be talking the entire time. So if you like getting on tangents, especially pop culture ones, keep listening. If you also want football, still keep listening.
If you don't like either of those things, what the hell are you doing here?
Keep listening.
But also,
I hate these. I hate these guys. I want to see how much of a train wreck it is. Keep listening.
I want their lives to be miserable. I will keep listening until I see the misery. Yeah, you're sure to get it at some point. All right, so we are going to today. We're going to cover an outline basics of what is fantasy football. We want this to be an episode that can be kind of an evergreen. We want to get more people into the sport. Are we going to call it a sport? Sort of like a lawn athlete, kind of.
I'll take that sport. If we can claim it as a sport, give it to me all day.
12-ounce curls. I mean, there's a workout involved for sure. so we want to get more people into this game, we'll say. And I want to teach you how to play if you've ever thought about doing it and thought, you know, it seems like a lot of stats and a lot of data. Like, I don't think I'm really cut out for that. Not true. If you thought, hey, I don't watch enough football, I probably not for me, not true. Or if you thought, I don't even really like football, if you got that itch to gamble, you got that itch to win, just in anything in general, this could be a lot of fun. I've seen it bring a lot of non-football people to the table, for sure.
I think you really hit on the head there, because it really can bring all people from all different areas. You know, as you said, you don't have to be an expert at football. You don't have to be an expert with stats or computers or whatever it may be. You know, you join in, you try your best, you see what you can do within it. And honestly, you can surprise yourself. You go back to work the next day with your coworkers and say, how the heck did you pull that one off? Anything like that. I think that's what makes it so much fun, is that literally anyone can do it. And it all just depends on how much you want to put into it. You can put in a little, have success. You can put in a lot, have success. And it's just how much you want to do. I know for us, as we've said, we've been doing this a long time. We love researching. We love reading the player updates, the player bios, just checking on mini camps and stuff like that, just to see where it might go. And honestly, half the battle is just putting yourself out there and seeing what happens. And I think that's where the fun is made.
Yeah. And truthfully, the sites that you're going to end up playing on do a lot of the work for you. There's a bunch of analysis in there, quote unquote experts and all that. And that stuff is really valuable. It's just, I don't know, we've listened to enough podcasts and read enough content to think, some of it is either not that relatable. It's too in the details, too many data points, and what's the wind looking like down in, you know, up in Chicago or whatever. It's just, there's a lot of that stuff, and we'll play into that for sure for the advanced players. But truthfully, we just think it needs to be a little bit more relatable of a field,
and exactly,
we can be the guys to bring it to you. So today, we're just going to cover the basics. What is fantasy football? How do you get a team? How do you start a league? How do you join a league? If you've got a spouse, significant other who plays, and you're kind of like, man, I'd like to get in there and show them that I could beat them, or you want to sneak attack, that's always fun. Like, hey, you didn't know, but I've been listening to this really goofy podcast, and all of a sudden, I'm beating your butt. So here's how you get started. Let's talk about this first, or at least what the concepts are. The concept is you're going to draft a team of players who do exist in real life in the NFL, and you're going to put them on your quote-unquote team. Each player can only be drafted to one team in your league, and that lasts for the whole season. Now, you can trade players throughout the season and all that kind of stuff, but Ethan and I can't both have Christian McCaffrey on our teams or Tom Brady on our teams, right? So you go through a draft process, and you get to select the players that go on your team. You don't just get to pick anybody you want at any given time, though, because you have to go in a draft order, which is just like the NFL draft. If you follow football at all, you don't just get to take all the best players that come out of college. You got to pick and choose the ones that you get whenever the time for you to pick is. So,
right. So along those lines, when you're in your league, it's going to depend on how many teams are in there. So leagues can range from 8 teams to 10 teams to 12. Honestly, I think 12 is too many. And honestly, I think anything less than 8 is just, then you just have super teams, all-star teams. It's not even really that fun just because they're all too good.
It's like Monopoly money. Yeah, it's kind of a joke.
So it's really kind of finding your sweet spot, what you want to go to. Obviously, if you're in a 12-team league, you're going to have a lot more players you're going to be picking up on your team that may not be starting all the time, or you might be their third wide receiver on that team because the league is deeper. And again, as I was saying, if you get 8 teams or lower, then yes, you are going to have all starters, kind of all stars, and it's a little different a mindset going in. So when you are deciding to get started in the league, just make sure you take a note of how many teams are going to be in that league, because that can make a difference.
Yeah, I strongly recommend 8 to 10 teams for a first timer, because you're more likely to know all the players that you're drafting if you follow football at all, and the guys that you're drafting are less likely to accumulate zero stats. Like, there's a chance in like a really deep league, 12, 14, even 16 teams, you get to the bottom of the barrel of your draft, you're picking up players that you're just hoping get some playing time. You can end up playing somebody who literally doesn't even get in on the field during the game. And if you don't really watch it closely, you'd never really know that. It'd be really frustrating.
True. That has happened.
What happens after you draft is each week you're going to set a lineup. You've got your starters and you have a few players on the bench. And different from NFL, these bench players actually do play in the NFL. They get real playing time, especially in an 8 to 10 team league. These guys are actually good players. They just might not be as good as your starters. So that, as you can imagine, creates a lot of these stardom, sit-em questions about, hey, who's going to be the best player to play this week? I've got these two guys. They're both good. Who should I start? Ethan and I are here for you all season long for the beginners.
You may not want to listen to me sometimes on the start and bench, because honestly, there are weeks where my bench outscores my starters, and that does me no good. I will honestly text Kemper that weekend saying, are you kidding me? It's always a great day when you see your bench has 6 touchdowns and when your starters combine for 2.
So that's usually fun. After he slipped me a fiver trying to get me to change out his roster. So don't tell anybody, but... All right, so you've got these players on your team. They're going to be accumulating points in fantasy football, and the points correlate to the stats they accumulate on the field. So you're looking at passing yards, you're looking at rushing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns. You've got a defense usually. You've got a kicker who's doing field goals, extra points, all that kind of stuff. So but there's only a limited number of statistics that you're really following. We're not usually looking at how many times did the quarterback pass the ball. We're more concerned about how many yards did the ball travel before it was caught and run, and how many total yards did that quarterback accumulate. So you're just going to follow along throughout each game, each week, and you're going to accumulate stats throughout the week.
And again, as Kemper mentioned earlier, it's not like you're going to have to keep track and say, okay, my quarterback got 200 yards, so that equals what? How many points? I can't remember. The site is going to do all that for you. It's going to calculate all the stats, all the points you get. But the fun of it is on Sunday is when you're watching the game to saying, ooh, my quarterback just threw a touchdown. That's an automatic 6 points right there. Or, ooh, that running back just busted off a 50-yard run. Ooh, that's 5 points. So you don't have to worry about calculating it yourself, but it is fun to be when you see that running back bust off that 80-yard touchdown run. You, in your head, you're doing that mental math, and then you just hope it pans out later.
It sounds like you said cackling to yourself there. Calculating, cackling. I mean, I think you probably are cackling to yourself.
I mean, I will cackle, especially if I'm playing you and I see that 80-yard run, I'm cackling.
There's a big-time cackle. All right. Throughout the season, you're going to manage your whole team, and you're going to keep the majority of the guys that you drafted all season long. So you want to think about that for a couple of reasons. One is, do you even like the player or the team at all? Can you stand to root for them? There are certain players I'm not going to draft in my teams. I don't want to root for them. I don't want them to do well.
I was going to ask you that, Kent, because honestly, you know, I grew up a Patriots fan, grew up in Massachusetts. So honestly, I never drafted Jets players. I never drafted Steeler players. Now, honestly, and here's my question to you, is that a detriment to your team?
It's a terrible strategy.
Okay, so understanding that is a terrible idea, but we all do it. Let's be honest. We have our biases. We have our hometown teams.
Yeah, okay. Listen, my mentality is you play the game, have fun. And like if you're sitting here like wringing your wrists over, oh my gosh, I have to root for this guy. And like for me, it's like I don't want anybody who went to Duke. So like if you're to wring your wrists over Jameson Crowder or Daniel Jones or something, like it's just
Let's be honest. Time out. You would never have Daniel Jones on your team anyway. Let's be honest.
Not necessary. It would be a pretty desperate situation. Like only quarterbacks with D's and J's in their names kind of thing. Where like, I'd be like, all right, he's my eighth pick. Surely there's somebody else out there. Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, no, it's not a great strategy overall, but on a micro level, not going to kill you probably.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to manage these guys all year long. There are trades throughout the season, which can make things a lot of fun. You trade with other managers in your league. It can make things a lot of fun. And then there's a system called waivers that we'll talk about a little bit later, but you're picking up players that didn't get drafted. Basically, they're going to sit in a pool, not a swimming pool. They're not like chilling in a pool, like a, you know,
just waiting to be picked up.
Inflatable pool in your backyard. Hey, pick me up. I'm going to do great. No, they're going to be sitting in this undrafted free agent pool, waiver pool each week. And sometimes during the week, you're going to have an opportunity to pick those players up in exchange for some of the guys you drafted. If your guys aren't performing well, if they get hurt or whatever. So you're not necessarily stuck with your guys, but your draft is really important. We're going to cover that in another episode, too. Mm-hmm. Most leagues, you're going to end up playing a head-to-head matchup with one other team each week. So you're going to rotate through your entire league. One week I'm playing Ethan, next week I'm playing another guy, next week I'm playing another guy. And so your stats of your players are going to be matched up against the stats of the other team's players.
Right, which is kind of a nice thing in the sense that you only have to worry about your team and then the players on the person you're playing against. Because, you know, let's say my quarterback is Tom Brady and his quarterback is Russell Wilson. If Aaron Rodgers goes off for 80 touchdowns, it doesn't matter what to either one of us. We're like, okay, thank God we weren't playing against a team with Aaron Rodgers. So the head-to-head is fun for a couple reasons. You know, obviously you get that friendly competition. It's always when Kemper and I play each other in our league, it's always the whole week lead up. There's a lot of crap talking throughout the week and a lot of
rivalry week.
So it just adds that extra level of competition, and you really can hone in on the specific players you need to watch for on your team, not only there, but then on your opponent's team as well. So it really, it's a fun format.
That's a good point. You're looking at probably 8 to 10 players on your team that are starting and getting points for you, and the same on your opponent's team. Those are the really, like, if you don't want to watch a ton of football, like, those are the only guys you really got to pay attention to.
True. Very true.
I think one really nice byproduct of fantasy football is that it's brought people to watch games they otherwise wouldn't care about. You know, like you think of those old blowouts of like the Patriots just whooping up on the Jaguars or something, you know, and you're just like, it's 35-0 at halftime. I'm going to turn this thing off. You're like, no. I'm going to hang in here because Blake Bortles is about to toss 7 touchdowns in garbage time.
We're talking Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles. He's like the perennial Jaguars quarterback. Insert Jaguars quarterback here. I'm not talking like Mark Brunell when they were actually good. We're talking about the Blake Bortles days.
But I'll tell you what, Blake Bortles was the king of garbage points. And that can honestly come back and hurt you. You know, you may think, oh, well, I don't want to draft anybody that's on a bad team. Not true. Honestly, the year I won our league, my quarterback was Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions. Sorry, Detroit fans. I know I live in Michigan, so I apologize already. But the Lions were not good. But that was a great thing for Matthew Stafford because basically from the second half on, he was throwing the ball every time because they were playing from behind. You can't run the ball in that. You don't want to burn clocks. So they were always throwing the ball. So Matthew Stafford was getting me a ton of garbage points. And so that helped.
They all count.
As Kemper said, it doesn't matter what game it is. You will always be invested in it for some reason if you have a player on that team. So, as he said, it's fun that you'll find yourself watching games you never thought you would.
And there's even the next kind of iteration of that is there are players that are not actually that great in real life that are good fantasy players and vice versa. There's some really good football players that don't accumulate the stats that you really want for your team. So I'm not here to trash guys who are in the NFL because that's
because they will murder you.
Yeah, number one, they will murder me. Number two, that's like the 1% of the 1% of the best athletes in the world. So now they're all good. But you gotta it's all relative, right? You gotta start somewhere. And so you might hear us say things like that guy's junk. Sorry.
But real quick side story. So while we may not want to admit this fact, there was a couple years ago where Kemper and I both just missed the playoffs, and we actually ended up playing each other in the consolation bracket for the championship of the consolation bracket, that is. So we decided to have a little bit of fun, and we were looking at the NFL matchups that week and saw that we wanted to look for the worst matchup of the week. And that year it was like the 1-win Bengals versus the 2 or 3 win Dolphins. So we made a little side bet with each other saying, all right, I'll take all the Bengals. You get all the Dolphins. Let's see what happens. So we're not
they were magically all available. Yeah, they're all available.
I don't know how that happened, but somehow all of them were available. But you know that's what's fun. So we were watching a game of a 1-win team versus a 3-win team, rooting for their 4th-string wide receiver and their backup tight ends because we had to fill out our roster. And I would just like to say thank you, Andy Dalton, to get me that win over Kemper's Dolphins. So thank you very much.
I actually think we had the highest scoring matchup that week. It was really crazy. Did. Like that turned into like a total shootout. It was
an overtime.
It was like 40-35 or something. Yes. That was crazy. Those guys put up so many points, and I think everyone in fantasy is probably like, where on earth was this all season long?
Or the new strategy for next year is draft an entire team.
Draft a whole team and see how it works. Would not recommend it, especially on the Bengals or Dolphins of 2015 or whatever it was. Not a good look. All right, so to get started in this crazy business, I'm guessing you're probably going to have an invite from someone who's been nagging at you and saying, you got to play fantasy this year. You got to play fantasy this year. We've got a league. We've got an opening. You want to jump in. If that's the case, makes it easier for you. They're going to send you a link, and you're just going to follow that and sign up for whatever site it is. If you are venturing out on your own, which I strongly recommend, and you want to say, I'm going to play this year and I'm going to do it on my own first and see how it goes before I let anybody know, cat's out of the bag, go check out a couple of different sites. The most common ones are Yahoo. It's got a Yahoo Fantasy Sports. ESPN, obviously, it's got a fantasy page. CBS Sports has got a fantasy page as well. And there's a new one, newer one at least, called Sleeper, which is pretty cool. It's an app only, so it's not really a website made for this, but it's going to be on your phone. Super easy to use, pretty slick interface.
Yeah, Kemper and I just started playing around with it, and it was actually pretty fun. That's how we did a little bit of mock drafting, just to kind of see trends and whatnot. And yeah, Sleeper was a pretty fun app.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I did a poll in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, actually in 3 different ones, and to a person, I mean, the majority answered they preferred playing on Sleeper. So I think it's gaining market share and should be pretty cool. I've heard of some other ones too. There's a bunch of them out there. Like NFL.com's got their own. There's one called Fantrax. There's a bunch of different leagues out there. I think the most robust for a beginner, something like Yahoo or ESPN is probably the best just because it's got all the stats and all the data there. It's been built out for, you know, decades at this point. And it's got a really easy interface and easy to find all the news and all that.
Do you have a preference of one over the other between Yahoo and ESPN?
So I actually like the Yahoo draft product better. I like being in the drafts better than ESPN. I, for whatever reason, tend to trust the ESPN projections more and the analysts more. I just think they get, in my opinion, I think they get cream of the crop analysts. I think if ESPN comes calling, you answer, you know, that's my mentality. It's kind of like the king of sports.
Okay. I was looking at it for me. I personally like Yahoo just because of the functionality. I just like how it looks. I like the look of it. I like the feel. I feel like it's easy to make subs, making your bench, and just, I don't know, I'm a very visual person. So just when it comes to how they display their stats, whether it be live, when the games are going on, or even projections leading up to it, I just like the look of Yahoo better. It just seems cleaner and easier to read. But that's just me. I'm weird. But
no, I actually completely agree with that. I think aesthetically, I like Yahoo better. I do. And I like their stat tracker during the games. Like you said, I prefer that product. They've had that out much longer than, at least to my knowledge, longer than ESPN's had their stat tracker out.
Remember back in the day when you had to pay for stat tracker?
Premium upcharge.
You'd always find that like one rich kid in your league. He's like, oh crap, he's got a stat tracker. Oh, he's going to kill us.
Let's go to Mikey's house.
Can we like hack into his account and all get stat tracker? This is amazing.
His password's just 1234. Okay. Okay. So you've got your league. You've either been invited or you found a public league or you decided to start your own league. Maybe you found some other folks who are listening to this podcast and they're like, hey, we follow these two jamokes on this podcast and we're going to start a fantasy league and see if they're worth anything. Do it. Start it up. Let's go. You can invite us if you want to. I don't know. You probably beat us, all things being told.
Well, if you listen to us, of course you will.
You're still on my players. I'm already worried about Ethan snagging on my players, snaking me in the draft. It's going to happen.
I literally hope I'm right before or after you.
Oh, my
you.
Gosh. I had to send him all my rankings, and he sent me your rankings too, so we'll get into that later. So I'd say maybe the most important thing for you to do before your league starts, before you draft and all that, you got to understand the scoring system and the league settings. There's a lot of differences between leagues. We're mostly going to cover standard scoring, standard leagues. For someone who's new or has just been playing casually, you know, one league a year kind of thing, most of your leagues are probably going to be in that format. We will cover all the other ones that are possible because there's some really cool stuff you can do in fantasy. But for the most part,
for starting off, you're going to want to start with standard scoring, standard.
Don't get cute. Yeah. No. don't go into like an independent defensive players and try and figure out like who's going to have the most tackles and passes deflected this week. And I mean,
oh God, I did that one year. That was it. But honestly, I can remember Brian Dawkins of the Eagles. I feel like won me like one playoff game because he had a late fumble recovery. You don't want to get an individual defensive player.
Oh my gosh.
That is a disaster.
It's a mess. So you want to look at what are traditionally called redraft leagues. These are your 1 year, one season. You get these players this year. You don't have to worry about them staying on your team long term, anything like that. You just draft a team and you roll with them all season long. There are other leagues that'll do what's called a keeper league. In a keeper league, you're going to be assigned anywhere from, I've seen one all the way up to maybe six or so players that you get to keep at the end of this season, and you get to have them on your team next season. There are different penalties and things like that associated with it, but you'll want to draft for players that are going to be around the league for a few more years. You don't want to get a whole bunch of old guys.
Yeah, you're thinking future with keeper leagues.
Keeper, so you're thinking like, give me that second year receiver instead of like Larry Fitzgerald, like any day was going to retire, right? And he's pretty much done now. It's like he's still hanging on, but who knows for how much longer.
Well, like, and for example, Aaron Rodgers, MVP last year. He's 38. He's in his last dance season with the Bulls, I mean the Packers. And so it's just like, does he want to be your keeper or not? You're not sure. He could hang him up and go host Jeopardy. You never know.
He could. There are calls for that. Brady, meanwhile, probably got another 10 years in him, I guess.
Oh, he's my keeper forever.
He's a keeper.
He's going to be playing until he's 70.
Well, you kept him so much you named your child after him. There you go.
Yep. Switching topics.
No, we've got the other format that you'll see that's very similar to keeper is Dynasty. So this is basically a keeper with your whole team. So this is where you get to act as like a true GM of a real NFL team. You're going to pick an entire team of players. You're going to keep the whole team year over year. These are going to be bigger rosters, and you'll have to make a lot of trades. And each year in the draft, you're basically drafting rookies that come out from college that year. So that's for somebody who's watching a lot of college football, a lot of pro football.
Those are your fanatics right
long
there.
Haul. Yeah,
long haul.
That's a long haul. Ethan mentioned earlier, the number of teams in your league is going to influence your draft strategy too. So you want to know, hey, are we looking at 10 teams, which is usually the standard? Are we looking at 8 teams where I'm going to probably know more of the players? Or are we talking about like 12, 14 teams where I'm going to do a fair amount of research before this draft? Again, recommend 8 to 10 for a new person. I think it'd just be easier to manage. You'll know more of the players and more household names.
And it's more fun, especially when you're starting out. You, as Kemper said, you want to see these players play. You want to see them produce. You don't want to have to worry about the fourth string running back on the Titans to see if he might get some garbage time when they're crushing the Colts or something. You don't want to just have to hope they get 10 yards. You want to see your players play. You want to see them do well. And that's kind of also the fun is, all right, do I play DK Metcalf, why is he in my head? Why am I on the Seahawks, Kemper?
Dude, also, let me just say, yes. The answer is yes. Do I play DK Metcalf? Answer is yes. You play DK Metcalf. All right. So I've also found that it's fun. Like if you have high scoring leagues, it's not fun to beat somebody like 60 to 57 in fantasy football. That doesn't mean anything to you if you've never played before. But I love being in a league where a team's putting up 150 to 200 points, and you're just like, I don't know, even if everyone else is doing the same thing, it's just more fun. More points is more fun. It's sort of like, I guess, why the NFL's put all these rules in place to get more points on offense. So people just want to see people score points. I want to see more stats. I want to see more yards. I want to see more touchdowns. That's the exciting part of the game to me. I was an offensive player. Maybe that's why. But it's always more fun when people are scoring. So
he was a quarterback, folks. He was a quarterback.
That's right. In a small town, Illinois, look out. When no one else raises their hand to be the quarterback, you step up.
And he did, my friend.
And I did. I literally had to step on a podium to see. That was short.
He's not a tall man, but that's all right.
Not a tall
man. He's got that gun, though, that arm strength. My goodness. We'd be playing back in college. We were playing just freaking intramural football. I'd be literally 5 yards up, just doing a little slant, and he would rocket that thing in there. And it hurt.
You don't see it coming. Yeah. Again, nothing to a professional football player. Let's not kid ourselves here. Okay, so we touched on this at some of the beginning too, but typically you're going to be playing head-to-head matchups in these leagues. In any new league that you're starting, the standard scoring is always head-to-head. There are other types of leagues that can be fun, and some of them are not even harder than a head-to-head league. It just changes a little bit. So, for instance, when fantasy first got started, it was traditionally rotisserie scoring. Rotisserie is kind of like this ongoing scoring system where you accumulate the stats throughout the entire year. It wasn't week to week that you had to worry about if you had a good week or bad week. You had a matchup, you lost or won. You got stats all year long, and it kind of rolled through the whole season like a rotisserie. See how they did that?
Hey.
Pretty slick. Hey. And at the end of the year, you look back and said, okay, who finished first in passing touchdowns? That got you X amount of points. Who finished first in rushing yards? That got you points. And you had to dominate as many categories as you could overall, and you'd move up the standings throughout the season. That's for the guys who are checking the box scores and the newspapers and all that. Those are the godfathers.
That was me. This is what I was talking about.
Ethan was there back in the early 80s. He was there. One of the godfathers of fantasy football.
Give me Bart Starr any day.
That's right. Some of those leagues will do the rotisserie format with a bit of a head-to-head component in that, like, each week the top half of scores are considered winners. So instead of going just head-to-head, they'll just say whoever scored the most points on their team for this week, the top 5 of 10 teams get a win, the bottom 5 get a loss. Some leagues do that. Just know your rules, I guess, is what I would say there.
But I'd say but honestly, if you're looking at them now, I feel like most have gone to head-to-head. The rotisserie, I feel like, is kind of getting phased out just because there's not as much of that friendly competition. If you're just looking at to see the top 6 teams who had the most stats that week, it's not as fun as saying, Kemper, I got you this week. I murdered you by 7 touchdowns. Like, it's not the same, at least to me. But I feel like you're not seeing as much rotisserie anymore. I just feel like that's the way the game's going, but it is certainly still there.
That was a made-up scenario, too. That would never happen. All right. The last format that I have seen out there that I think is kind of interesting is called best ball. And this could actually work pretty well for a new person because you don't have to worry as much about lineup decisions. In a best ball league, you stack your bench with a bunch of players. The best players that score the most points in each position on your team get counted. So if you started the wrong guy and some guy went off on your bench and scored 40 points and you're like, shoot, I wish I had started him this week, you don't have to worry about it. You get those points anyway. He's considered your top scorer in that specific position, and you're just more worried about building out a team of people that can score a bunch of points whether they start or not for your team. It's kind of interesting, I think.
It is interesting. Although, again, see, I don't know why. Am I like the yin to your yang? I feel like I'm just kind of going like your, devil's advocate. That's the word. Honestly, but that also takes an aspect out of fantasy football where you have to make these difficult decisions. I feel like half the game or half of fantasy football is saying, ooh, who should I start this week? Do I start Saquon Barkley or am I starting Nick Chubb? You know, who has a better matchup? Who has, you know, just kind of looking at what all is involved. Whereas if you take out that decision, it definitely makes it easier, but is it as fun or is it as invested, I guess?
Maybe. There's definitely more emotional roller coaster in the head-to-head matchup.
Yes.
If you're a masochist, it's for you. If you want to hate yourself on Monday or Tuesday because you left a guy on your bench who went off, head-to-head's where it's at. And I've been on that roller coaster for a
Sammy Watkins will always live in my shit house just because he was a random late draft pickup. I'm like, oh, I need someone to fill up my roster. I need a wide receiver. Sammy Watkins, last year or 2 years ago, he's on my bench. He goes off, for 280 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I'm thinking,
let me give you a little tip there. He does that every year in the first game of the season.
The first game. So I'm thinking, So he did that first week. I'll give him a shot starting week two. Week two, 1 catch, 5 yards. Oh, great.
Classic Sammy Watkins.
Wonderful Sammy. Good luck on the Ravens, my friend.
Yeah. Somebody's got to catch passes over there.
Yeah, but who's going to throw it to him? We know Lamar can't throw.
That's actually true.
That's for later.
He might be left-handed. Yeah, we'll see. The next thing you want to look at is scoring. It has become the standard, much to my delight. I've always loved this and always preferred it. The standard leagues nowadays are point per reception scoring. PPR is what you'll see in the documents. And what that means is every time your receivers and running backs and tight ends catch a pass, they get a point just for catching it. It's like everybody gets a trophy, kind of. You know, it's like, hey, you caught it. Great job. It's kind of weak in that regard, but it does increase the scoring. It helps level the playing field a little bit. I think what happened was quarterbacks were by far the highest scoring of every league of all time. And so it's made it so that a running back and receiver and a tight end can score as much as your quarterback on any given league.
Hey, let's be honest. It makes it so James White is still getting drafted by teams.
I'd say, yeah.
Like he actually came up with the rule. He's like, damn it, I'm not getting drafted. I got an idea. Running back and catch, amazing.
Theo Riddick is on board. yeah, I actually looked at the scoring yesterday. I was looking at it again, and J.D. McKissic on the Washington football team was like a top 15 or 20 running back last year. And it's like,
I picked it. I remember picking
only catches passes. You know? He's like another receiver out there. So most leagues these days are going to be PPR. You'll see some non-PPR. You want to pay extra attention to those leagues. In those leagues, you're probably going to favor quarterbacks a little bit more. And you want to look for people who score touchdowns. It's going to be more important that they score touchdowns. So it's not going to hurt you if a guy has 2 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. That's as good as someone having, you know, like, it doesn't matter how many catches, like 10 catches for 120 yards. It doesn't matter how many catches they had. It's totally about yardage and touchdowns in that case.
Well, that's why 1 year I was in a league where it was PPR and one was non-PPR. And I had Kenny Galladay in both of those leagues. And so I would get so frustrated because in my non-PPR league, Galladay was scoring just as much because, as you just said, he would have 3 catches, but like for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is a great day. But in the PPR league, it's not that much better because he only caught the ball 3 times.
That's right.
That would just be so frustrating.
Yeah, and like Cole Beasley was also getting like 10 catches for 90 yards and getting 19 points in that case. You're like, Kenny Galladay is scoring touchdowns, like hovering over people, you know, like just monstering people. And it's no better than
Cole Beasley is right Cole Beasley. Here.
Yeah. The slot receivers, they're money in the bank on the PPR
Wes
league.
Welker.
Wes Welker. Julian Edelman, they made a living out of that stuff. And then you've got some leagues are to be like half point PPR. That's kind of an equalizer too. I don't like that as much, but I think the Yahoo standard is actually half point. The Yahoo league that Ethan and I play in is a full PPR. And then there's another kind of added bonus there that we do in a lot of our leagues is performance bonuses. So that's something where if a guy gets over 100 yards, he might get an extra point or extra 2 points. If a quarterback throws for more than 250, 300 yards, they might get an extra point. The point is here, check your scoring beforehand just so you have an idea of where your players should rank. You can see the rankings of the players from last year to get a better idea of where they all stood up. And you can look at the projections as well.
You know, because as Kemper says with checking how your scoring works, honestly, there are some leagues where a touchdown might be worth 6 points, but I've seen it in other leagues where it's only worth 4. So again, that kind of hurts your quarterback a little bit just because you're hoping he's throwing for 3-4 touchdowns a game, but it may not be as much just because of how your scoring is set up. So yeah, definitely pay attention to that. Just so you can be the most informed and know which way to lean with your players.
Yep, for sure. You also want to look at roster configuration. So what we mean by this is who are your starting players? How many of each position are you going to need to have? Standard is going to be 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, 1 tight end. Most leagues are going to have what's called a flex position, and a flex can usually be a running back, a receiver, or a tight end. That's usually going to be a starting lineup along with a defense and a kicker. You want to know if your league has got an extra flex, if your league is going to start 3 receivers, if your league is going to start what's called a super flex, where you can put any offensive player in a flex position. That's usually going to be a quarterback. So in those leagues, quarterbacks are going to go earlier in your drafts. You want to know if you're in one of those individual defensive player leagues, IDP, you know, like you don't know what you're dealing with. You have IR slots. Can you put a player who's injured down in an IR slot for COVID or for injuries? Some leagues I've seen have a head coach slot where you have to draft a coach And if the team wins, he gets a win. If they lose, he doesn't. It's like, I don't know, it's like by 5 points or something. I don't know, but you get points for it. So you're like,
damn. I have never played that. Have you?
I have played it one time.
Who was your coach?
Well, God, it was like 10 years ago. It was probably like Bill Cowher or somebody.
Bill Cowher. Tom Coughlin like, versus Bill
yeah,
Cowher.
Yeah, it was money for 12 wins. So it was like, all right, I'm just going to choose him, you know?
Next year, I'll see assistant coaches.
That's right. Come who was a special teams coordinator? I had him. They had that good punt that one time. There are leagues that have punchers. I've actually seen that too. I've never played a puncher league. Yeah, I've never played a puncher
league. Can I put my kicker in my flex?
No, you can't. And that would be awful. All right, next thing up, we're going to look at draft types. So, again, the majority, this is standard, majority of the leagues that I've seen that you're going to see out there are called what's called a snake draft. Snake draft just means you're going to start with first team gets first pick. It winds its way all the way down to the 10th team. That's the first round. In the second round, it goes in the opposite direction. The 10th team gets the first pick and then winds it back to the first player. And then it just continues to snake around. That's the most common. It's easiest for you to sort of project out who you're going to get ahead of time. But you also have to play the board a little bit because people are going to take players from in front of you.
Looking at a snake draft, let's say there was 10 teams. What pick do you like the best? Because honestly, you would just think, oh, it's got to be the first pick. Well, not necessarily, because as Kemper said, if you're picking first overall, your second pick is going to be the 20th pick overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kemp, if you had to pick any slot, what would you say is your favorite?
So, thankfully, we've done a lot of mock drafts this year.
True.
I would say in this specific year, just based on the players that are available and who are in the league right now, I really like the middle round, 6 and 7. I like being in that slot this year. And, you're not going to get Christian McCaffrey in the 6th pick or 7th pick. But I think we'll get into this with our draft episode next. But I think with this year, you've got 6 or 7 really stud tier 1 running backs. If you can get one of those, you're going to get the best available player on the second round of the other 6 running back owners who got those other guys. So right. Like, to your point, McCaffrey's owner, he's going to be getting – or she's going to be getting the 3rd or 4th next best player after you've chosen your second round player.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
I to be quite honest, I actually kind of like the end of the draft because I like getting that double pick where, you know, between 8th, 9th, and 10th pick, I like it swinging right back around so I can get, you know, 2 of my top 10, 12 players. I don't know. I've kind of liked that and doing different mocks. I've been happier with those teams than say like a 4 or 5 pick. I just hate, granted, you wait for a long time, but I like the double. I'm going to get who have I queued up. I'm going to get at least 2 of these guys.
That's a good point. You like basically guarantee you know who your next pick is going to be. So right. Like that's a lot of what you do in this game is you wait. So you make your first pick, you wait and see who gets taken between then and your next pick.
Right.
To Ethan's point, when you're on the end, you know, you're in the turn, you get to pick 2 right then. And so you don't have to wonder who's going to take whom and who's going to be left the next time I pick. Like, you know, right now I'm getting these 2 players. So I do like that a lot. I just, through the mocks, I just have liked my teams better that have come from the 6 and 7. But
right.
I mean, I love being on the turn. The thrill is pretty fun.
Yeah. But as you said, we'll get into the draft later.
Get into the draft later.
People want to know what pick you like.
They're going to know. They're going to hear it. The next type of drafts, we've got auction drafts. These are pretty cool. You get like a budget of fake money, or I guess you could use real money, and you get to auction for players. So there's a whole – we'll go into that in the draft episode too of how that works just schematically. But in general, you're going to bid on players, and everyone else in the league has a chance to bid on the same players. It's one way to ensure you get exactly the players that you want so long as you have the money for them. So if you are hell-bent on getting Christian McCaffrey – and it's going to cost you, say, a $200 budget. It might cost you $80 to get him.
And keep in mind, this isn't real money. It's just a set amount of fake dollars that your league sets up saying, okay, you all have, quote unquote, $200 to play with.
Yeah.
And that's where we go from there. It's not,
yep.
You're not ponying up $200. Well, unless that's how your league set up, but
you
that's
might.
Not.
Yeah, you might. But yeah, typically the league is going to give you fake money to use to auction, to bid on players. So in that case, like I said, you can get the players that you want. But you got to budget your money right, and we've got a strategy for that too in our draft episode coming up later. And then the other thing to keep in mind, I guess, are online versus offline drafts. All the drafts can be online. You can even do online drafts in person if you want to. Online meaning just there's draft software that goes with all these platforms, ESPN, Yahoo, Sleeper, CBS, all. They've got their own draft software that will open up in a separate window a draft room. All the players from your league will join that draft room. You get a timer for all of your picks. So it could be 30 seconds, could be 60, 90, whatever. Each person is on the kind of on the clock, more similar to the NFL draft. You're on the clock, you've got to make your pick, and then the next player is on the clock, the next manager is on the clock, and then you pick your teams that way. It's a fun way to be. It's fun to be in a draft room, I will say. It's fun to, because you get, there's like a chat function in there, and we're talking trash, and you know, you want to get someone inside of somebody's head and tell them that's a terrible pick. And
I'll tell you what, though, the worst is if someone doesn't show up, because then the computer will auto draft for that team.
Oh gosh, and, don't be well, that person.
That could be one of the better things, because like, oh man, they're gonna draft someone who's already hurt. Or like, oh crap, I'm after them and that's the guy I want, but crap, that's the next on the ranking sheet.
They're gonna steal him, and they probably don't even want him.
Exactly.
So true. Now the plus to that is they're gonna get a kicker in like the eighth round.
That is true. They will get the best kicker, but still.
That's true. But I always preferred the in-person offline drafts. I bought a draft board this year. I do it every Ooh. Year. I got my neighborhood guys come over.
Oh, yeah, you sent me a picture of that. Stickers. That looked money.
It's cool. It's super fun. You can still do plenty of trash talking. You can do it in person. You don't have to take your time. You can still set timers if you want to, or you just tell people.
How long did your draft take? How long that draft take?
Seriously? Hour and a half.
No, that's got to be high.
Hour and a half. We were pretty good on time. It was
Did you have a timer per pick?
Not an official timer. What we did have was we put one of our kids' play school chairs on the floor next to the draft board. And if you took too long, you had to go sit in the play chair until the next round.
I like it.
Or if you drafted a player that was already gone. That's the other thing. Like, you kind of keep track like manually on like a sheet.
True.
Who's been drafted. But we had a good time with it. It's always a good time. And then you can kind of like, it's a little more casual. You can take a long time. I've been part of some of them that were like 3 hours long. I didn't care. Like, I'm okay with the that. Draft.
I was gonna say
for the draft. I love it. So I think it's a good time. Once your season gets started, another setting you want to make sure you're aware of, at least, is the waiver system. We hinted on this earlier. That's where all your free agents go after the draft. Waivers are going to lock players out from being acquired once the games start on Sundays. So we'll get into that a little bit more later. Basically, you want to know, when am I going to be able to access free agent players? When am I going to be able to put them on my roster, and when am I not going to be able to do it? And then how is the order of those waivers set? Initially, it's probably going to be opposite of your draft order. So if you drafted last, 10th spot, you're probably going to get the first opportunity to get a waiver. Throughout the season, it could be continuous, which means you hold that waiver spot until you use it. It could be rolling, which means a reset, which means that the lowest scoring team of the first week becomes a top waiver, and the worst team in the league every week becomes a top waiver, and it just kind of stays that way to try and level the playing field. Could go either way.
So touching upon waivers, the reason for them is just it makes it an even playing field for picking up players. So basically, it's preventing people on Sunday when they're watching the game seeing someone who wasn't drafted, this sleeper pick, all of a sudden go off for 4 touchdowns. And so it's not then just a race to your computer to see who can quickly hit add and drop your worst player. So it's preventing that. What waivers is kind of doing is, as I said, even in the playing field, that, all right, it gives everyone a chance to decompress after the games, get a day and say, okay, do I want to try and go for this guy? He had a great week. Will he clear waivers? Will he make it to me? I see I'm only third in line to get him. So it adds another aspect. But again, it's just so you're not having to literally watch the game so intently each week, every single game. And it's just a race to the computer to pick up that guy. That's
you remember when we used to play without waivers?
Oh, my. It was so stressful.
Oh, it was fun. We were also younger. Like, didn't have kids or anything. But, like, would be watching a game, and all of a sudden, you'd see some third-string running back get picked up in the league, and you're like, crap, what happened? And you're like, oh, injury. He has, like, broken leg, out for the season. You're like, no.
Yeah. Oh, but, and it would get so heated. Like, you'd think, oh, I'm so smart. I've got this guy. I'm going to pick him up. Already picked up. Are you kidding me?
So you had to watch. You had to watch every minute of every game if you could.
Oh, my God.
It was stressful. For the average player, let's not deal with that. So you want to know how to win the league, right? That's going to be important, too. So you want to take a look at the playoff structure, how many teams make it. So you need to know where and how you make it. Is it total points? Is it record? Is it any other thing? What the tiebreakers are, that kind of stuff. So you want to – that's what we're playing for. I mean, you play to win the game, right?
You play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm. So that's what we're all here for.
Pop quiz, where's Herm now?
Arizona State?
Well,
is it still there? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah,
he's still there. Yeah.
He's there.
Rocking it. Yeah. He's putting out top prospects like Brandon Ayuk.
Boo.
Well, I got you on that, didn't I?
I was going to say N'Keal Harry, but that's way too sober.
N'Keal Harry. I'm LOLing at N'Keal Harry. Okay, so then talking about winning your league, that's what we're here to help you do, and that's what we're here to do. There's gonna be some money involved. You want to figure out how that works. You want to know who gets paid out for doing what. Is it going to be every week the high score gets paid out? Is it just the champion? Is there a trophy? Is there a championship belt? We've got a championship belt. It's fun to pass around. Our names are on it. Are the first two names on it? I know. I think my name's the first name on it.
I think mine's second.
Yeah, I think we're the first two names on my belt. And sadly, not on this
sense. we started 2 years ago.
It's a brand new. It's just our names repeating over and over again. You want to know if you got loser punishments. You want to know if there's any reason, consolation bracket. We'll get into that later in the season. There's just a lot of different things about how to win, how to earn money if you have money, or how to earn points.
Have I paid my dues yet, Kamish?
No, I have to track your ass down.
I feel like I'm always last.
You know what? Let's just take a pause in this right now. Why don't you just go ahead and Venmo me that right now?
I've got a thing in the oven.
You got a thing? Okay, strong man. All right, fair enough. One of the last things I want to hit on here is the mock draft. I was honestly not a huge proponent of this until I started doing some research for this podcast.
Yeah.
And I realized the importance of doing it and how it can set you up to not be frazzled in the draft room, and also help you build a good strategy for who you're going to get and who to wait on, who to jump on. It's really pretty valuable, especially if you know what site you're going to play on.
Yeah,
I was mocking on everything, so I mean, I'm all over the place. But I would say if you know you're going to play on like Yahoo, for instance, run through some mock drafts, get four or five of them, pick different spots in the draft and see what it looks like, try different strategies.
The key, I think you just said it, was picking different spots, because that's where I started to realize I really like the turn at 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah.
Because I was picking, you know, I did also with Kemp try each different spot to see, and I was just finding I was having more success. I had a better flow. But again, as he said, it's just you're not, because most of the times in these drafts, you're not going to find out where you're drafting until about an hour before. So it's not like once you find out your draft order, it's not like you're going to have that much time to prepare. So if you are able to get a couple mock drafts in, you get to see trends. You get to see, oh, people are really overvaluing this guy. So if I want him, I either got to get him early or just not even bother. But you can also see who people are waiting on, where it might be best to get your like second tier quarterbacks, because let's be honest, Mahomes is going first or second round. You're seeing that. So you're not going to get him late. But someone like an Aaron Rodgers MVP season, I've seen him drop to 6th, 7th, 8th round all in these mock drafts. So I know if I want him as my QB, I don't have to get him early. I can see, okay, I can maybe wait to 6, 7, or 8. And again, it's all about trends, and you see that when you do these prep drafts.
Ethan, the ever the Patriots fan with the Freudian slip, the Mac drafts. He's all in on Mac.
Said the Mac.
He just heard
breaking
about
news. Cam Newton is out.
He just heard about Cam Newton getting released and tipped his hand a little bit.
Ethan's Mac going, Jones Mac, is Mac Jones. Shooting up my draft board.
Average season at best.
I mean, you didn't say I dropped N'Keal Harry. I mean, come on, that's my sleeper.
That's true. N'Keal Harry
said no one. N'Keal Harry is no one's sleeper.
Just avoid him entirely. There's a bunch of different draft strategies that we'll get to in another episode as well. But just know that doing the mock drafts can help you try some different things. If you mock from the same spot and just try a couple different players, you'll see how the draft board unfolds for you. And it's kind of cool to check that out. Gives you a better idea of what you might want to end up doing long run.
Mac drafts.
Rabbah.
Rabbah. All right. Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape Cod. Next important thing, there's a couple tips to wind down the episode here. Be sure you set your lineup every week. If you're going to do this thing, do it. Do it right. I'm not saying you have to do all the research and spend hours playing, but if you're going to sign up for a league for real, you owe it to your league mates and to yourself to give it an honest go. And I've seen too many players not change out an injured player or a guy's on a bye week and he's not playing and they don't change their lineup. And it kind of ruins the fun. Like you're on the receiving end of that, it's cool to get the W, but it can ruin the whole league.
Well, I was going to say it ruins the makeup of it because as you said, if you're on the receiving end, it's great. You get the easy W, but when you're jockeying for playoff position, you don't want it to have to come down to, oh, who's playing the guy who never changes his lineup. No, you want it to really be settled on the online field per se. And you want it to, come down to what matters, and that's people making the right decisions, people doing this, not who has five guys on the injured list that aren't playing.
That's right. That's right. To that end, I'd also say be active in your league. You know, do as much of the stuff as you can. Do the trades, do the waivers, do the sit them, start them.
Send pick up questions. All the Bengals. Pick up all the Dolphins.
Pick up the Dolphins. Give it a go. It actually could be a good year to pick up Bengals and Dolphins, honestly. They've come quite a long way
since our days.
And finally, download the app for all these things. If downloading apps is not your jam, get your grandchild to help you. I don't know. But download the app for Yahoo, for ESPN, for CBS, for Sleeper, whoever, whatever league you're on. It's great for tracking the stats during the games. It's easy wherever you're at. I'm in the grocery store. I'm always just walking into walls, checking my fantasy lineup, you know. You can do mock drafts on there as well. You can do your real draft from the app, actually, from your phone. Wouldn't recommend it. I've seen too many people be like, oh, my phone's crapping out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what, dude? Get a computer or go to the library or do something.
Pay your bills.
Pay your bills, yeah.
But, no, yeah, the app just makes it easy, too. As you said, you have literally no excuse to not set your lineup because you could literally be an hour before the game start on Sunday, like, oh, got to do that, and just quickly hit pop out your phone. It just gives you no excuse to not do it.
Yeah, it's great. You can, yeah, to Ethan's point, you can do lineup changes on there last minute. If you're waiting to find out if somebody's going to start or not, if they're going to be injured or not, those reports usually come about 90 minutes before the game start. If you're just jonesing to find out, check your app. If you're on the road, doesn't matter. No big deal.
Do it.
And there's a bunch of fancy content on those as well. So you can always check out what the analysts, quote unquote, analysts have to say about the upcoming week. And the last thing I always want to tell people is have a good time. I've taken this too seriously for 20 years now, and I've only recently started to get to the point where I'm like, you know what? I just love it. I love doing it. You call me a masochist. Sometimes I'm not great at it. Sometimes I'm not great at it. I know too much I know enough to be dangerous. Sometimes I know too much for my own good. So I think that I can chalk it up to that a lot of times, but ultimately it's more fun when you just have fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where the trash talk comes in. You know, it's all what you make it, and you want it to be fun. That's what this is for. And just go out there and just basically just do it. That's what we want you to do here. That's the point of this. We want you to start. We want you to give it a try because it is. It's fun. We've been doing this for so long. We want more people to be doing it.
It's a good time. Stick with us this season because we're going to do a big draft episode next. It's going to cover a lot of detailed strategy on how to draft, who to draft, when to draft certain players. We're going to give away some really good value picks. And some perfect lineups. Ethan and I put together the perfect lineup that's going to be your league winner. This thing's going to win a championship for you, so you don't want to miss it. Go ahead, subscribe to this channel. Hook a brother up. Join us next time.
Fold in that cheese.
Keep folding.